David Yannis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to our show. I know that you're busy on a Wednesday. Today is Wednesday, October 7th, and we are here in the studio with my brother, Gabriel Yannis. I think this is going to be his first time. Hopefully the sound is right. Every time we seem to have Gabe, we tend to have a little sound problem. So everybody in the studio, engineers, president, vice president, all crossing their fingers right now. Say hi, Gabe.
How you doing today?
And it's official. He is on the air that we can actually hear him clear, hear him crisp and everything. Well, Gabe goes to Freedom International Church, which Pastor Mike Salazar is his pastor and stuff. And he's here in the studio just to basically hang out, learn some of the engineering. He's going to start helping us out doing engineering. But he wanted to stop in and say hi. So he'll throw some interjections throughout the show. And I know you'll enjoy his comments. Well, our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172. Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can always email us, therev@midwatchwiththerev.com or david@revmedianetwork.com. Just want to give you some updates. We are officially still in the summer here in the studio because our thermostat has gone out and it is hot. So we're going to do a show, but I don't know how long we're going to hang out and do the show because it's hot here in Texas. When it's not raining out there, if it was raining, it'd be a little bit cooler and stuff. But other than that, we're here. But God is good, and God has a purpose for you, and I know that we've been covering it, especially the last couple of shows. I just wanted to tell you that everyone that you're doing something, I know that you get tired and it gets tedious with the things that you do day by day, and especially if you're like myself and you're the family bus where you have to drive around and get the kids from school and get them home and stuff, it's challenging. And then you have the work that you do to make money, then you also have your ministry that you do. So it can get very tiresome, and sometimes I think that you can put yourself and you can deduct yourself from actually doing something for God. And I know that you got to know that God knows what you're doing, and what you're doing is important. Whether you're the soccer mom or the bus or whatever it is to get the kids to school, that is important. I think your kids are your most important things in your life. And I think Gabe, he does children's church, and how long have you been doing children's church, Gabe?
It's probably going to be about 6 years consistently, but before I did it off and on at a couple different churches. Also worked pretty well with the youth groups that we have over there, and also in the men's ministry.
Amen. See, you have to have a heart to work with kids. I know here at Metro Church, my church it's my home church. I help where I can, and I do the Sunday night services and I preach. There's only so much you can do with the station, and then with just about to launch the television part. There's only so much you can do. I love kids, and I have, four kids, and there are some of them are in the children's part church, but then my older son's about to start going into the youth church, and we're praying for workers. We're praying for people to come in and to help. In fact, I'm reaching out, to other people that already have children's ministries built, other programs built, if they can spare a couple of people here and there just to come and do this. I know that we're all the way in the north part of Houston, and it could be far from some of their ministries, but I really believe to effectively reach kids, you got to have a heart. You can't reach kids without having the heart. Amen, Brother Gabriel?
Yes, I definitely believe that. I mean, the kids right now is your big influence on the kids. As I remember as a kid, there's a few times that I remember that, what the teacher actually did for you that day stuck with me for the rest of my life. And the same thing with, if you're a teacher out there, the teachers are a big influence in the youth, the young kids right now, elementary to junior high to high school. And whatever y'all do out there, it really does impact the students that you have. And, you're pretty much more of a positive influence than what most of them are getting at home right now. And that's the thing, is you just got to have a positive influence in them, and also give them the right words that need to be said to them to continue them to grow as young people.
Amen. We are their first line of knowledge. When they look at you as a teacher, when they look at you as a authority figure in their life, you are their first line of knowledge of how Christians should act and be. In fact, when they look at you, they look at you and they assume that you've already been through life, that you already know everything and been through things, that you've already been through temptations, and that you are no longer susceptible to those things. Little do they know that we still go through temptations in life no matter what as we get older. But these kids will always look at you and see and look at you as a role model. I remember when I was growing up, and of course, I guess I was actually in the military at the time, that I was watching television. Of course, it was back when Charles Barkley was probably one of the bigger players in the league. He's always been big, but you know, one of the bigger, better players in the league, and maybe one of the elite players at the time. And he just made a comment that you know, he's nobody's role model. He didn't choose to be a role model. And when I look at that, and later on he retracted that and said, you know, he needs to straighten up and behave and stuff. And it was just because he was doing a different type of lifestyle there, a different type of, he was heavy into drinking, heavy into gambling, and blowing through money, and his friends were reaching out to him. And I think that he realized something too. You can't help, no matter who you talk to and who you're associated with and who you think you're reaching. You can't help but be a role model if you're inside a children's church ministry, or pastor, or just an influence in somebody's life. You don't know who you're touching, so you don't know whose eyes are actually watching you. So I don't mean to add extra pressure on you, but whatever you're doing out there, you need to make sure you're doing it for God. Amen?
Amen.
I think that a lot of people tend to forget that the littlest eyes are the ones that, yeah, maybe they can't say nothing or they can't stop you from doing what you're going to do, but they do get affected. They do remember that. They do go with that after years and years. They're going to say, well, he did this or you did that. And, you know, I know that we don't need to give the enemy any more ammunition than he already has in our lives and stuff. And I think that children's church ministers, children's church pastors, that's a calling, because that's a calling that you have to walk extra careful around places. And you have to be able to talk to kids on their level, but then you have to still be able to minister and do everything you have to do in adult level as well. So you have any insight, Gabe, in the children's church, things that you can give our children's church pastors and people that are listening?
Well, pretty much it's, you know, like you said, you did the key work. You got to have a heart for it. I've known some teachers that tried to do it. They just didn't really have the heart for it, you know, and they just didn't really, I guess, connect it with the kids. You got to really have a connection with the kids in order to be doing this, and that's having a heart for them. If you don't have a heart for them, you don't care what they're going to be doing in the future or what they're going to be doing when they go home, then you shouldn't be in that type of ministry. You got to understand that whatever you teach them that day hopefully goes with them through the rest of their lives and continue to help them grow. Even if they're not in a home that's not a fitted home, you know, that's not a Christian home, I mean, that's right there is the biggest key, is to actually be able to give them that Christian values that you need, that they actually need in order to grow, even if they're not getting the Christian values at home. And that's the biggest thing.
Amen. They're going to be their resource. You're going to be the one they're going to draw from. They're going to come to you. I remember as students, me and my brother and our best friend went to a private school, probably for what, 6 years of our lives.
Yes.
And when we went there, there had plenty of Christian teachers, plenty of them, but there was only a choice, maybe choice couple that we would confide in. You know, God bless the Miss Trevinos out there.
Yes, exactly.
And Pat Watkins out there, and those kind of teachers that you could actually go to that had a compassion and an ear that they knew the rules of school, but they knew you were young and you're making crazy, doing crazy things, but they knew how to reach you. I think that's why we opened up to them, because they reached us. We seen that they were genuine. We see that they loved us. And you know what's funny, though? You can look on our Facebooks, you can look on our Twitters, and you'll see a lot of our old schools, our Christian school. We went to Sweetwater Christian School and off of 8600 Sweetwater in downtown Houston. And you would look at that and you would see us still contacting friends from that age and still communicating with them like we're brothers and we're sisters, because there's something about the faith of God, not just the school you went to, but something about the family of God that keeps you close, and something about the teachers that are around you that keeps you influenced. So you never know who you're influenced in and who you're touching. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I want to give you an update again on the webinar, October 29th, cool thing, we're going to be having it online, so you're going to be able just to log in from wherever you are, but you do need to get a password, and you do need to get the username to be able to log in. So I want to make sure that you know October 29th, 7:30 is the webinar. It's going to be our first video recording, and I'm praying, and pray with me, I'm praying that this is going to launch, if we get everything broadcast right, that this will launch the television part of this ministry on Rev Media Network. We want to also announce on the 23rd of October, that is on a Friday, a week before the webinar, but on a Friday, we're having an open house here at the station. So if you're out here at 7811 FM 1960 and over here in Atascocita, and just past Lake Houston, West Lake Houston Parkway on 1960, please come by the stations between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. We're going to have some pizzas. Again, all the pizzas and stuff, and we're going to have some drinks for y'all. Just pizza drinks, maybe some cookies. I don't know. But we're going to get all that, and we're going to see some friends come through. In fact, I got a confirmation from Charles Malott. He will be calling in to talk to whoever's in the studio. He hosts his Life Through the Eyes of Christ on Friday nights and on Sunday nights. And I have to send Dana a text message or get a hold of him and get a confirmation to him, too, for him to call in as well. So we're going to have these pastors calling in at different hours. But whoever comes to the station, you're going to be able to get on the air if you want. It's totally open to you. Come through the doors. We'll talk with you, greet you, let you get on the air and say hi to everybody out there listening to Rev Media Network. We are growing, my friends. We are growing. We have another pastor from Dallas. It's going to be our first pastor from Dallas, and his name is Pastor Cliff McKern. He's a very seasoned man of God, very seasoned pastor. He's planted over 14 different churches around the nation, and he's going to be on our station. Now, that's impressive to get someone to plant so many churches, and he's sitting in all his Bible school. He has Bible colleges. That's all he builds, churches and Bible colleges. And this is going to be a step for our ministry. We're going to help them build a station. He's planting another church right now, so all his resources are into that, and we're going to help build a station for him as well. But he's going to be go ahead and join on our church stream site. And then if he's sending me what I think he's sending me, which is his Bible school courses, we may even be able to start a Bible school through the ministry. Amen. That's impressive. I'm always trying to find just things for us to do, things for us to get involved in, things for us to partner with other ministries. I'm not the type that says that if you're with one church, you can't work with another. I think everybody should be able to work with one another. I know me and my brother were having breakfast this morning at Denny's, and in between my French toast slam, I just told him that, you know, I can see a lot of ministries out there, a lot of friends that we have, and even family that we have, that need to work together more. And you can sit and complain about it, my friends, or you can be the peacemaker, or you can be the one trying to unite everybody to say, hey, you know, I know you're busy, but we need to coordinate on some events together to reach more people, because with our faith, we can do a lot more when we work with one another. We can't do that. I mean, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to work. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to walk with each other down this street of faith. Amen. And another thing is that our website, keepingmymarriage.com and relationshipseries.com, is up, and they do have the archives on there. So if you need to, and Midwatch with the Rev is up. So we just got one more to build, which is Survivors by Faith. And the reason I haven't built that one yet is because I have a plan for that one. That one is what our actual television show is going to be about. So it's not going to be a radio show. It's more going to be a television show. And I'm waiting for the launching of the webinar to coordinate with the launching of the website of Survivors by Faith. So we're having that together and stuff. And we'll be right back. We're going to play a quick commercial. And let me load one up for you. And we're going to be able to get this thing rolling in a little bit.
Have you ever felt that you let God down in the way you handled your dating or marriage relationships? How about the deja vu feeling that you had the same bad experience before, but you can't help repeating what you know doesn't work? Emotions about our relationships are constantly shifting from highs to lows. If we know that we are not in the right relationship, we still try to convince ourselves of our partner otherwise. Sometimes that convincing leads us away from God, Christian friends, family, and the church. Does this describe you? And if it does, do you ever wonder if all your rationalizations and poor choices have exceeded the limits of God's patience with you so that you are almost out of grace? If so, my friends, I have written this book for you. The title of my new book is Almost Out of Grace. This book will be a blessing in your life. You can pick this book up anywhere books are sold. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere books are sold. You can also pick it up at my website, RevMinistries.com, for $12. Also, AlmostOutOfGrace.com, you can go there and there's a link there as well to purchase the book. If you want to preview the chapters, if you want to know more about the book and why I wrote the book, visit AlmostOutOfGrace.com. You can get through there through RevMinistries.com, or you can go straight to AlmostOutOfGrace.com and you'll be able to see why this book came into existence and how it came into existence through radio shows. God bless you. Please purchase the book anywhere books are sold, or you can write us at P.O. Box 5172. Send us a check, money order. We also take credit card, and if you want to call in at 888-241-0768, hit extension 2, and we'll be able to help you in the bookstore. God bless you. Thank you. Again, Almost Out of Grace will be a blessing to your relationships. I want to take this time just to thank all the hosts that have sent in their shows and have been at the studio, at the auxiliary studio, trying to get everything going and trying to get their programs on the air. This is a huge effort to try and get a station like this put together within the next month or so. The next few weeks, we'll be putting the actual shows through the main station at the church that we have, the property that we have, and we're going to be broadcasting this live 24/7 like we're doing now, but we're going to have more programming at that time. I have churches that have agreed to sign up and to send their MP3s and their CDs to us so we can get this thing going. Now, if you're interested and you like the broadcast, let me tell you this for just 1 minute. We have people from Russia, Netherlands, China, Belgium, Spain, Africa, all listening. I can go online, I can show you statistics and show you who's streaming and who's hearing from those countries. We have very, very up-to-date software. We have the latest information available to us through the web that gives us the ratings and stuff of what we're doing out there. And we're touching people. People are listening anywhere from, 3 minutes to 15 minutes to even an hour at a time. So don't think this is just going out to deaf ears. I believe this is touching and reaching people. I believe that you can be a part of this. It's very simple. If you want to host your show from where your location is, or if you want to come into our studio and you're in the Houston area where you can actually do the show, you don't have to be in Houston or have to be at our studio to actually have a show. RevMin Network will be able to get you to where you got to go. You can be one of the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts available and around this world. If you do have material, please contact us at 888-241-0768. You can hit my extension, which is extension 5, and that'll get straight to me. Or you can go ahead and write us at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. We can send us your CDs through that way. And also, you can email me, therev@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. Thank you again for listening.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yedison. You know, when you have family in the studio, you just got to have patience. Amen. Amen. Wow. Praise God that you can hear me right now and that we're on the air. I just wait for something to go wrong with our brothers here. So, I wanted to read to you a quick article. You know, all the floods that we're having here in the U.S., it pales to compare. Even though death is death, no matter what part of the world it is. But 222 people were killed in South India floods, and millions of people were affected. In fact, I'm going to read you an article real quick, if I can actually see it from where I'm at. all right. It says, days of torrential rain in the southern India have left vast tracts of land devastated and displaced many people. Officials said Monday as the death toll from flooding rose to 222. In Karnataka, the worst hit of two Indian states, 170 people have been reported dead and more than 50,000 are staying in relief camps. Can you imagine that? 50,000 people staying in relief camps. According to government spokesman R.V. Jagdish, hundreds of thousands of more have been sought for shelter in homes or friends and relatives. So a lot of people are being displaced. Now, we can remember the storms here when Katrina and Rita came through and Ike and everything. We didn't get Katrina, but we got the outskirts of it. But then we got Rita, and then we got Ike. Very crazy. It's crazy to be without electricity. It's crazy to be without ice. It's crazy to be without food. It's crazy to be without water. Your daily normal routine just goes out the window, and it's just survival. I mean, when we had that one storm, was it Ike? I think that hit Kingwood pretty hard. And Humble. And I tell you what, man, people were lining up for lines and lines for gas and violence was happening all over the place. You look at these people and you're like, come on, it's a few gallons of gas and ice and food. And it's amazing when your everyday comforts are taken away. It's amazing how we tend to degrade ourselves, or we tend to just turn animalistic. I don't know what the word is. It's just, you know, it's just a survival mode people go through. And now, right now, 222 people killed, millions needing some help. So if you can, please go to any of these websites. I think there's plenty of them. I'm trying to find you the link for these guys. You know what? The Christian Post is pretty good at putting information out, but they don't give you a website. I'm going to find your website real quick. World Vision is a good website that you can go to, worldvision.org. You can go to that, and then NGO is actually a good one. And National Global Outreach. That's what NGO stands for, nationalglobaloutreach.com. So they don't have their, or non-government humanitarian organization, blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, they don't have as much information on that website. But the website I looked at, World Visions, please go there. You can also go to globalreach.com. And I'm trying to remember, these are things, places that I've hit and stuff that are good going. And World Vision is hoping to raise $2 million to ramp up the response to meet the immediate needs of 100,000 flood survivors who have been driven from their homes into relief camps. So help World Vision. They're doing a work out there. There's plenty of India ministries. In fact, when I open my email sometimes, and I probably can go into my email right now and I can open it, it's always a pastor asking for help. And I know that you probably get the same emails that I get. And I get a lot of them because we have the station and people in India listen to our station. In fact, we had an email, I'd say about a week ago, from a pastor that said, God bless you, Brother David. God bless you and the great work that you do. I thank you for having Rev Media Network. I thank you for having this station on the air. Let you know that many, many in India are listening to your signal right now. And that's a blessing. And that 2 o'clock in the morning, they're listening to Rev Media Network. You know, it's like, it's amazing. So you never know what you can do. You never know. Don't ever underestimate yourself, because you are built in God's image and you can do a lot of things. Nothing is too hard for you to do, because nothing is too hard for God to do. Amen. If we're building his image, then we have no limits, just like him. God is awesome. He does awesome things for us. He can do anything you need to be done. And you have to have the same mentality. Now, I'm not saying to go over there and jump off a building. No. It has some common sense. But I'm saying to believe that he can get you out of the most difficult positions. Now, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for these guys in India. I'm just reading this article, and it actually hit the state of Andhra Pradesh, which I'm very familiar with that state, and that is the very southern state of India, and it has been submerged with flood. So it's amazing, because Andhra Pradesh sits on the coast, so it's right off the water. And so that place got flooded. It's pretty sad. Even Catholic reliefs are sending 162 delegates that way to try and figure things out. And it's amazing. You know, I share with you last week this. And with all the devastation that's happening, I share with you last week this, and I'm going to reiterate this, that when I was a kid, I call myself a kid, but when I was in the Navy, I used to go to a church out there, Calvary Assembly of God, in Stanton, California. And I'd always go into the prayer meeting, supercharged, ready to pray for revival. And the pastor just loved every week I'd be praying for the same thing. And he sat me down and said, son, I love your zeal. I love your passion. But revival isn't going to come until destruction comes. Revival comes after destruction, because people realize who God is when they lose everything. And amen. This is an awesome time to help them physically, but it's also an awful awesome time to send Christian people out there like World Vision that has a good message, and that can not only feed them, clothe them, educate them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for all the people in India right now that need your help. There's nothing impossible for thee. Father, I pray that you help everything, every ministry, World Vision, Gospel to the Unreached Millions. You help every ministry out there. World Outreach. You help everybody that is out there. You help David Wilkerson's ministry, who does outreach in India. You help Lakewood, who does outreach in India. You help every ministry that has a hand in India right now, that they will bring the relief that they need. They will touch the people's lives. And Father, that through the giving of just the normal clothing and food that they need on a daily basis, that we can get that out to them. Father, we pray that the listeners and those that are around this world will be able to help those ministries. In Jesus' name, Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you want to help, you can. You can give to Rev Media Network. We have our contacts in India. That is, in a way, the ministry that I came up through was from India. I used to raise funds for them for several years. So if you have any funds, I can get that to that ministry, who is directly in Andhra Pradesh and Orissa State, where these countries, where the hardest hits was around Andhra Pradesh. And we have actually, I still feel part of them. We have a Bible college out there, and we have widows and orphans. So we need to get some funds out there, and we need to help them. We need to bless them. So you can give to Rev Media Network at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325, or go on our website where you're at right now and go to the donation page and just, when it says other, just donate what you want and make sure you put on the note for India, and I will get whatever you send in and get it straight over to the overseas for them. And we have the organizations that are out there doing the same things. In fact, this spring, we have a Bible college. Actually, Rev Ministries has a Bible college in India, and we don't really have a name. It's just called Bible College of India. And my friend Timothy Dipp and I are partnering on that. We're going to start supporting him more in the spring. And right now we have 11 students, and we plan to have 22 students by the springtime. So we're going to need $30 a month for each student. And we're going to try and raise at least $300 a month for them to keep them going and get 10 more students in there. So if you want to be a part of that, please help, please support, and we'll see some good things happening, and good things happening for them. So, Gabe, tell me about you. What's going on
with the ministry?
Anything. Just talk.
Anything. Now, a lot of subjects that you were talking about is really, it's touched a lot in my heart. It's, it's a lot of people out there that it touches. And the thing is that, we're a nation of giving, and I believe in giving of yourself to giving, financially when the needs are there. It is very important. Some people might think, that $5 I'm going to donate is not going to actually do anything. Well, guess what? If there's 5,000 of y'all that thought the same thing and y'all all give, what is it going to come up to be? That's what giving is all about. It's not how much you give or how little you give. It's just the giving heart. And God always blesses you in return, no matter what you give. He could bless you with a good health. He could bless you with a good family. It is not always about money that God's blessing you with. God's blessing you with things around you. God's blessing you with the friendship and the fellowship you have, your church you go to. I mean, there's blessings all over that none of us really think about. And a lot of people, always say, I want to get blessed. I want to get blessed. But most of them, about what I understand, about 80% of them is about money. They want to get blessed by money. That's great. That's, God has his ways to do it, but it's not the only way God also blesses. That's just a reminder out there for y'all that are, wanting a great blessing. Great blessing is your kids. Great blessing is your mom and dad, still being around. Great blessing is, family members that you can actually enjoy them. Great blessing is a job. With this economy right now, I mean, just thankful that you even have job right now. I mean, it might not be paying what you were getting paid last year, but it's an income, and God's blessed you with that job. So there's a lot of blessings out there that it's all through God. We really don't see what's around us.
Amen. Amen. I think that people need to realize how much God actually cares for people. When you give, you're opening a door for another person. Amen.
Amen.
Look at it that way. And you can look at it that way. I think one thing that my brother and I were talking about at breakfast was that there's a need for workers. There's a need. And I told you this story before. I'm going to tell you it again. And when I really wanted to have a station, I didn't really know what to do as far as building a station and stuff, but really wanted to do something more than just a radio show. Really wanted to be more effective than just having a podcast site where Midwatch with the Rev has always had its own site where we actually had the players play and stuff, and where you can actually pick a song or pick a show and listen to it, and everybody was doing that. Well, I started sewing to Daystar Television. I started sewing to KSBJ Radio. Sent something here and there to TBN, but Daystar and KSBJ, you know, I see a good return every time. I'm telling you this, I just out of experience. You know, I speak the truth. I see a good return every time I send a Daystar. See a good return every time I send to KSBJ. See a very good return every time I send to David. That's the place I know. If I sow at David Wilkerson's ministry, World Challenge, I get a good return back. So I sat back and I start sowing. For 1 year, I sold diligently to all three of those ministries, and then the TBN I would sell here and there. Well, it came an opportunity. I started to go back on the radio. I didn't want to go on the radio live on the internet, but I did. I was just having a show, and then God put in my heart that I should be able to build a station, and I did, and we did. And long story short, went to California, learned how to do it from the same station, came back, built our own. Rest is history. Since May, we've been on the air, and the thing is, we've been able to touch people all around the world. We've been able to touch people's lives. We'd be able to make good friends. How many of you know that friends are good in ministry? No one should be the Lone Ranger. No one, you know, Lone Ranger need a Tonto, and everybody needs a covering. Amen. I don't think anyone can be out there ministering unless they have a partnership of accountability somewhere. It's hard when you're alone because you think you're okay. Two things. First, you think your opinion and your ways are the only ways, and that's dangerous. Because, secondly, you're not approachable. You think everybody's out to get you because you're not with someone. There's always that back thing right behind your head saying they're just trying to tell you that because you're alone and you should be alone. You shouldn't listen to them. Well, it's easy. I can tell you this, and my brother could probably testify to this. It's easy to quit a job. It's easy to wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going in. Forget them. I'm tired of this job. Forget them. I don't want to do this no more. Tired of it. It's easy to wake up and just say, I don't want to do it no more. It's easy to be at the job and say, you know what? You can let every emotion in you get to you so bad that you just, I'm out of here. I don't want to be here no more. And you walk off. It's easy to do that. So easy. Same thing in ministry. It's so easy to be at a church and the pastor tells you, hey, we need you. If you're going to be part of this children's church, we need to be here under this authority, listening and getting how we teach and how we minister and being a part of this. But in a loving way, they're telling you this, and you can easily get offended, just like the job. Wake up one morning, not show up. Say, oh, well, let them deal with their own kids. I'm not going to be there no more. Very easy to get offended. What does the scripture say? Don't easily get offended. God knew he had to put that in the Bible because it is so easy to get offended. It is so easy to let someone else frustrate you and take you away from what you're supposed to be doing. You leave your job, it's going to take you 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Well, in this economy, 2 months to find another job. A good paying job. You leave your job, your bills are still coming. They don't know you quit. Your phone bill's coming. Your light bill's coming. Your rent payment's coming. Your mortgage is coming. Whatever. Your car payment. They're all still coming along. You let your emotional circumstances dictate your situation. And you know what? That's your fault. What did Paul tell Peter? Paul tell Timothy all the time. You need to grow up. Until you grow up, you need to keep growing up. And all the words he kept telling him is basically, if it took the one theme, was you need to grow up. And then one time, finally, Paul said, you have reached where you need to reach. You have became the man that I thought you're going to be the man of. I am proud of you. And he's excited about him. But he needed to stop becoming a complainer and becoming a worrier. And got to, and Paul would tell him that he needs to grow up. I think every one of us need to understand that situations should not dictate how we're going to live our life. And we should not walk away from a good paying job. We should not walk away just because we don't agree with something. That's the growing up part. That's the allowing the authority around you. It's hard sometimes to take authority. It is. If you're brought up in a single family home, if you're brought up in a home where a mom dominated the family, then you're going to have a problem with authority. If you came into a single family home and the mother was the authority, when you get a man's authority in your life, whether it be a boss, whether it be your pastor, you're going to have a problem dealing with that man. What do you think our prisons are filled up? What do you think our prisons are filled up? Because they have come from a lot of parents that were single family, a lot of families that were single parents. A lot of these guys, you know, one thing I know about when I've grown up and when I was growing up with on the basically out there playing basketball, playing soccer, living whatever life I'm living, but just running into people in the military everywhere, is you don't talk about mama. You can say all you want about daddy, but you don't talk about their mama. That is the truth. That you can see right there. Yeah, they love their mama, but their mama basically ran the home. And it was the final authority in the situation. So when a man's authority and a woman's authority are two different things. Now, if you grew up where there was the domineering fact of a parent that was more domineering, which would most likely be the mom, and you were going to have two things, which is you're going to have a problem with authority, and then you're going to have a problem with insecurity. You're going to have insecurity, a big insecurity issue, especially if you have siblings. If you have brothers and sisters and the mom was the domineering part, or if she was a single parent, you're going to have a little bit more insecurities than the next person, and I'll tell you why. Now, this is all my psychology junk that I was learning, and I'm trying to get out what I remember. I don't have the books in front of me, but it's very simple. Very simple is this. A lot of times in families, there's affection. That one child gets preference over another, and a mother would give attention to one other kid more than the other one. And another kid can do something that another one couldn't do, and it'd be okay. And those things are deeply embedded in you. So after years and years and years, and you got your own family, and you got your own job, and you're at your own church, you start seeing the pastor probably favor someone else. It starts reminding you something in the back door of your brain, of your childhood, that you don't know is hitting in the subconscious, that's touching a nerve in you, and you don't know how to deal with it. Have you ever had like a panic attack? Now, I've never had one, but I've seen many women have them. And Gabriel laughed. Why are you laughing, Gabe? You've seen a lot of women have panic attacks?
Yes.
It particularly attacks women, and they can't breathe, and they have to go and have to stop, or I can't do this right now, or whatever. They're working and stuff, and it's a panic attack. And the reason that panic attack comes on is like everything around them starts to go too fast, and everything around them, their breathing starts happening. Now I'm not going to say it's a demonic thing, but it's something wrong with their thinking. It's problematic thinking, and it's things that has to be fixed in their heart and in their mind. And if they can go to keepingmymarriage.com and go to the counseling session, I can help them. But I'm telling you, it's something that's inside them that has to be fixed. Panic attacks aren't from God, my friend. If you're a Christian and you're having a panic attack, that attack is not from God, and we got to fix it. And you got to be able to get Christian counseling. Now, why do I push my counseling? Because it comes from the Bible. Belief therapy. That's all it's called. It means I'm going to fix you with the Word of God. And that's the best fixing. If I fix your brain, not much is going to happen, only unless I fix your heart. Your heart has to be fixed with the Word of God, which will in turn fix your brain, which will in turn fix your reactions and how you react. Now, when people walk away from ministries and people walk away from jobs and stuff, it's because the authority issue that they're fighting, and they get that same panic attack women get, and I don't mean to pick on you women, you know I love you, and it just makes them so frustrated that they don't know what to do and they walk off. And I think that a lot of people need to realize that people around them, they need people in their lives. Many years I had gone, and I can speak from experience, and I'm not afraid to say this at all, many years I have gone ministering by myself, and I've done good, and I've blessed many, and I've touched a lot of lives and very successful in everything that I've done by myself in a way. But I have not seen the reward that I have seen in ministry and in life in general since I've joined and start partnering with other ministries and put a spiritual authority around me. I mean, I was across the world at times preaching the gospel by myself with no authority, no one knowing where I was, just doing the gospel. And that was good when I was single. And then I was with a ministry that would be in New York, be in Los Angeles, be in Cleveland, be anywhere in a heartbeat. And that was good. But then that ministry didn't have a covering as well. They had a good board, but no covering. So then I'm with this church now, Metro Church, and it's pretty good. I mean, I think that God's accelerated a lot of stuff. We've been able to touch a lot of lives, and we've been able to minister the Word of God. And I'm now associate pastor. I'm part of the board. We have a station that we put inside the church. Everything's just starting to click. And my brother can testify that things are moving fast for this ministry. And it's moving quicker than we can imagine. But it all comes to one thing. And being Wednesday, our leadership Wednesday that it always is. And I know Pastor Mike was going to call in, but we'll have to save him for next week. That is, we need that authority in our lives. We need someone that we can partner with. The same partnership that Abraham had, with his brother, the same partner with his uncle, the same partnership that with his uncle Jethro, and the same partnership that he had that everybody had. Then in the New Testament, when the apostles brought everybody together, and there was, we're going to minister this gospel together. You got to have a covering. You got to have someone teaching you. So if you're out doing ministry, you have to have someone doing things with you, or you got to have someone to say, "Hey, you're going a little fast here. We need to slow you down." Or, you know what? Maybe that's not the best time to buy that right now. Someone that's mature in the Word of God that can help direct you. You got anything you want to say on that, Gabe?
Yeah, I really believe in having the authority. I know I've been at different churches and helping out with different things, and actually since I've been there at Freedom International, I actually have a cover now. I have authority figure I have to answer to in the ministry. Honestly, my growth with God has grown tremendously by just having a pastor and other leaders in the church that pretty much have respect for, have authority for. They have authority. I mean, it's just really, really good to be in a church that has a covering. That way you'll be able to grow, to me, honestly, quicker in God, and be able to understand, you know, that there's someone you're always going to have to answer to. And everyone, of course, knows we have to answer to God. But God has placed people in everyone's lives to basically, you know, you have to answer to help you grow. You know, you just can't just do it all by yourself, because there's no kind of direction. I mean, you could go off the wall on your thinking and believe it's right. But if you have three or five figures out there that's been seasoned through God, could see something in your teaching that's not right, they could bring it towards, you know, bring it to you and sort of let you see what's going on. But if you don't have that authority, you could go off the wall on something and continue with it until you basically fall. So I really do encourage that.
Amen. And you don't want to be remembered as the guy that, oh, he doesn't want to sit with authority. You don't. I remember when I was coming up again through the ministry, just got married, and I was attending a church, Pastor Nelson, Jerome Nelson's church and stuff. And I tried to submit, but at that time I just couldn't. There was, like I told you, that panic attack thing. It wasn't really that, but it was more like an emotion thing where I couldn't sit. I couldn't submit. It's something that had to grow in me. It had to grow. And I'm not telling you that it can't happen. It can grow, and it can eventually do that. Maybe you can't sit with someone right now, but you need to get to a point where you can. You need to get to a point where you can. And you don't want to damage a relationship, because as you don't sit, people are only going to remember that's the guy that didn't want to commit. That's the guy that don't want to sit down. And then when you finally get to the point where you can start ministering and doing good things, they may not want to work with you because they don't know if you can submit. And that's a hard thing to take, because, you know, you love the people and they love you, but your track record. So you have to be able, I know God forgives and it takes time and God can rebuild anything, but you have to be able to just say, hey, sometimes you have to be able to slow down and say, okay, you're never going to feel bad, or you're never going to be sorry for building another man's vision. I guarantee you that. Everything you're doing now, you're sowing into someone else's ministry, and then God's going to bless you in your ministry when it's time. All right, before we go, I'm going to read you a quick silly news article. This is found in Associated Press, Tuesday, October 6th, was the date that it was printed. So if you want to read this article, go to yahoo.com and go look at Associated Press. Nebraska woman accused of throwing dog at officer. Lincoln, Nebraska police said a woman will not face charges for throwing a dog at an officer during a domestic violence investigation. Police Captain David Saver said officers were called to the Southeast Lincoln subdivision for a report of a domestic violence late Monday. He said the woman was suspected of throwing a cell phone that hit her boyfriend in the face. Police said the woman was holding a small dog when the officers arrived, and at some point she threw the dog, named Flash, at an officer. Police said neither the dog nor the officer were injured. The woman was arrested on suspicion of domestic assault. People are stupid sometimes. I guess we can just say that. People are that's just crazy. You know, you're already all emotionally hyped up, and then I can imagine that. Can you imagine that, Gabe?
Probably that's why the dog was named Flash.
Probably. Just threw that across the screen. Pow. I can imagine that. It's just like, what are you coming over here talking about? a cell phone. Well, let me throw, here's a dog. I'll throw a dog at you. And, well, pretty silly, but only in America, as they say. We get the silliest stories here. We get the silliest stories. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for listening to the show. Gabe, thanks for coming in and listening and being a part of the show.
You're welcome.
And hopefully we can get some more material and we'll bring you back and we'll be able to do some more programs. Well, guys, remember our address, Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And remember our conferences. I really want y'all to come to our webinar. You can do it online, and you can also come to our open house. Remember those dates. The 29th is the webinar, and the 23rd is the open house.
Yeah, and the open house, please come to it. Show your support for this ministry here. You know, it'd be great to see a lot of different faces that, you know, we've only heard on the phone. And, you know, it's going to be a great thing out coming out here. You know, a lot of good time, and just be part of it. And we'll thank you for your support on that.
Amen. Well, those were our whistles. Navy whistle. I love that Navy whistle. Wakes us up, puts us out. Gabe don't have a headphone on, so he can't hear what's going on. But, yeah, as Gabe said, please come by. Be a part of the guest. Gabe's going to be here, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you for listening to the Good Watch. We'll be right back.